You are listening to a Central Life Christian Church presentation. For more information, visit centrallife.com.au.
Him? I didn't feel him, but he was listening. So the following day, the situation we were talking about, and I'll get Diane up in a moment to say more, but, you know, the stuff hit the fan, you know, It all transpired in a 24-hour period. God was listening. God was listening. You want to get up and just say a few things, Di?
So a few of you know that for the last 12 months I've been in a new job. And it's been, you know, an interesting journey. And into those 12 months, I actually started getting bullied at work. And I've never experienced that before. I've always had pretty good workplaces. You get a few individuals that you work with that annoy you. That's life. And I probably annoy them. But I was getting bullied continuously from my boss for the last 12 months. And I've been trying to manage it myself. I've got support from different areas at work and the union and HR and places like that. And I've got a really good support network of friends that ring me regularly and encourage me, and people in the church that pray for me. And so we'd have a really good month and then we'd have a really bad month. That's how life was at work. And we spend a lot of time at work, don't we? So you want a good journey when you're at work. And that's what I always believe for, because God is on our side. And on Monday, I just had the worst day ever, the worst day, and really got unfairly targeted, and a lot was said, and it was very unfair. It was a big injustice to me, and I came home, and we're driving home from work, and I said to Keith, oh, this is my day, this is how it went. And I was so discouraged. I was like, what do I do? I've prayed, I've believed, I've stood in faith, I've been hanging on. No door is opening anywhere. And, you know, when you're in a tough spot, there's three things I generally pray when I'm in a tough spot. God, help me learn what I'm supposed to learn. And then let that pass, move me on. Or God, bless them and get them a better job. That's the other one. Or God, just deliver me, please. Yeah. And so I was at the just deliver me stage on Monday night. Just deliver me. Because when you're in a tough spot, it colours everything else in your world. Everything. And it's really hard to keep the faith. Anyway, so I had this really terrible situation and conversation that day. I got to work the next day, or, you know, got through the night, just put on a good face. Bit. Got to work, and I'm working away as I work at a computer basically, and ding, this email pops up in my email, in my inbox. And I've got some really good friends high up in the union, and so the boss of the union is a good friend, and she's been like, for 12 months, she's like, let me take it for you, let me represent you. And I'm going, no, I'll sort it out. No, 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 because I feel I'll be a bigger target. Anyway, she had sent an email to my CEO and to my general manager, mentioned me in the email, told them I was being bullied, told them they needed to sort it, and told them they needed to report back to her. I sat there and I thought, oh my goodness, this is not good. This is not good. And so I took a breath, raced into a room, shut the door, and rang the union and said, what are you doing? You gave me no notice. What are you doing? And, you know, they encouraged me, sit down, relax, take a breath. It'll get sorted. And I was very nervous on Tuesday. Anyway, I rang the general manager and I said, this has happened. I didn't know it was coming, blah, 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 blah. I'm really sorry. And he said, no, this is good. Things need to get sorted quick. This is good. I want to meet with you personally. I want to meet with your manager personally, and then I want to meet together, and I want to do it tomorrow. And I really didn't expect that response back. I thought, I'm going to be a troublemaker, I'm going to be targeted. So I didn't sleep on Tuesday night. I was still very concerned. And I went to work on Wednesday. By the time I'd got there, my boss had already met with the general manager, didn't know why he was meeting them. And then in the afternoon, I met with him, and he was fantastic to deal with and really supportive and like, we're going to sort this. Can I get you two together? So an hour later, he got us together in a room and we were working on these things. And my manager was really embarrassed. He said, I'm really sorry that it got to this point. And I'm sorry it's got all the way up to the general manager, and I'm happy to sort it now by myself. And the general manager said, I don't want to involve you. You're so high up in the chain. And the general manager said, no, I'd like to be involved. I really want to be involved. In fact, I want to see you in a month's time. And I want some accountability that this is going to be sorted. And the CEO is actually interested in this case. my boss just, you know, put his head down. And basically, it's going to be sorted. After 12 months of standing in a place in faith and not seeing a way out, basically. And God moved in 24 hours, church. When I said, please deliver me, I can't take any more. God moved on my behalf without me understanding how he was going to do it. I would have not imagined that ever that way. But now there's a plan in place. There's accountability, and we're going to work together to go forward. So I just want to encourage you, church, that God knows, and he has a bigger plan than we have.
Yeah, I'm sure, thanks, Di, I'm sure we're not the only ones with testimonies of what God's done. But you do reach that point where, what the heck is the plan here? What is going on? And you're at your wit's end and you're going, Lord, are you there? Are you really listening? Are you hearing my prayers? Yep. And he intervenes. And that's the God I know. The God I know is the God that answers our prayers. The God I know as a God who's got a plan. And he has a plan beyond any other plan that we might ever imagine. You know, if you went back, jumped in a time machine and went back to 1969, interesting year, 1969, I was four. I remember sitting in front of a black and white TV, very grainy TV, watching all these adults around me going, that's amazing, that's incredible, that's this. And I'm thinking, I can hardly make out the picture. And we know it was men walking on the moon. And the people around me were amazed at here was mankind walking on the moon. Now, if I went back and said to those people, do you know, that was awesome. We walked on the moon. But do you know, in 1972, we'll go to the moon for the last time. We won't go to the moon again until 2040 or something. They would not believe you. If I pulled out of my pocket this thing, I said, but I've got this little gadget. I can put a number in it and I can dial anybody on the planet, pretty much. I can ask it a question and it will give me an answer. Siri, am I good looking today? That was a man's voice. Do you know what I mean? If I went back there and said, this is what the future will look like. In 1985, I won some tickets to a premiere to a movie. And the tagline for the movie went something like this. Where we're going, we won't need roads. You know what that movie was? Oh, I'm the only sci-fi geek here. Back to the Future, number two. So in 1987, somewhere around there, we thought that in October 2015, we're nearly there, We'd all have flying cars. We'd all have a microwave-looking oven that looked something like something out of the 50s that you could put a cookie-sized thing in and bring out a family-sized pizza. The future doesn't look anything like what they imagined it would. And it goes like that a lot in our life, doesn't it? The future doesn't always go the way of the plan. I remember back in 1999, I just finished Bible college and we'd just taken over a church and I had this dream. And in the dream, I was in the future. And I was talking to Diane in my dream and I said, "Wow, how did the church go? Did it succeed? Have we got a church of 1,000 people?" And she looks at me, she says, "Well, it didn't quite go to plan." And that's exactly what the truth. It didn't quite go to plan. It didn't go the way I imagined it would. I thought that things were going to be completely different. I thought that the way my ministry would unfold would be completely different. I thought the way the church would unfold would be completely different. But all in all, God had a plan. Proverbs 16, if you've got your Bibles with you this morning. Proverbs 16, verses 1-4. You know, God's got a plan. God's got a purpose, and it often doesn't pan out the way we think, but it does pan out to the good. Proverbs 16, verse 1 says, "To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of destruction." And then turn over a few pages to Proverbs 19, verse 21. "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purposes that prevail." Do you know, for me, church, that's my heart's desire. Is that, yeah, I'll plan things, I'll do what I can, I'll organize my life the way I think I should. But my heart's desire is that the Lord's plans would prevail. That His would prevail in my life. That it wouldn't just be a chance event. Do you know what happened with Diane this week? People, "Oh, that's just luck." No. Kira Lee lost her wallet last night. She's freaking out. She comes in. There's a call from an unknown number. She rings it. Somebody's found the wallet. She'll go back this afternoon and pick that up. Oh, that's good luck, isn't it? If I had so much good luck, I tell you, I'd put in a lottery ticket every week. It's far beyond chance. It's far beyond wishful thinking. It happens day after day after day. God does something in our lives. He has a plan. You know, sometimes we can be heading in completely the wrong direction. I can remember a number of years ago, I used to take Diane to church. We had a Toyota Camry, wide-body car. And I would sit out in the car in the sun on a Sunday, basking in the sun in the back of the Camry. It was awesome while Diane was in the church. It was incredible Sundays. And the pastor came to Diane one day and says, "Why doesn't Keith ever come into church?" Well, I really didn't want anything to do with church in those days. God had a plan. And he said to me one day, he said, "So Keith, why don't you come to church?" I said, "Well, I don't come to church because I'm a square peg in a round hole. I don't fit in church." But God had a plan. Little did I know I would be running that church a couple of years after that. But God has a plan. God has a purpose. And no matter where you are, no matter where you think you are, no matter where you think you're going, God has a plan. You know, some might remember a few months back I did a message on things are getting better. So I don't hold to the viewpoint that the world's going to hell in a handbasket. I don't hold to that at all. I hold to what Jesus said. Jesus said that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So I hold to what God says, not to what the world says. And the world might try and tell me every single day that bad news is happening. And stuff is happening. I'm not in denial. Stuff is happening. There are things that shouldn't happen that are happening. But predominantly, good things are happening. You don't hear about those because they don't sell papers. You don't hear about all of the good things that are happening around the world. But they are happening. Here's an example, and I did say this on the thing, that globally, since 1990 to 2015, we have halved, that's halved, the infant mortality rate, globally. And you might say, well, that's still a lot of kids dying. Yeah, it is. But that's halved it in, how many years is that? 20 years? That's remarkable. That is remarkable. And you might say, well, what's that got to do with God? Well, it's got to do with God here. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 65, if you would. I didn't even know this scripture existed until a couple of months back. I probably read it 50 times and never actually took it in. But it's an amazing piece of scripture. God has a plan and he wants good on the earth. And he wants to change the earth for good. He wants to bring, and he's using the church, the body of believers, to do it. Good is coming to the earth. And we've got to believe for a positive future, not a negative future. Not, oh, well, everything's going to hell in the handbasket. I'll just sit on my hands and wait for Jesus to come. No. We've got work to do, church. We've got some things to do. We've got some people to help. We've got some children to save. We've got some, you know, addicts to help. We've got some, whatever it may be. Whatever's on your heart. Whatever God's called you to fix. We're all called to fix something. But here in Isaiah 65 and verse 20, God prophesies something out of the mouth of Isaiah. Isaiah, what, 800 BC, something like that, was he? 800 BC, God prophesies this thing. Now, Isaiah must have thought, what the heck am I saying? But here he is, he says, never again will there be in it, that's in Jerusalem, will there be in it a child who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. Wow. Wow. That's the plan God's got for the earth. The people would live long, fruitful, blessed lives. That's God's plan for the earth. God's viewpoint for the future is this. The children never die at birth or any other time. It just never happens. In 50 years from now, we'll have cars that drive themselves. The people of that age will go, people died in car accidents? What do you mean? How could that even be? Up until 2013, we hadn't had somebody die of measles for 30 years. Whoa. And that happened because they weren't vaccinated. So they died, unfortunately. So there is a future coming, church, that is pretty awesome. And we are part of that. It is an incredible future. A future with hope in it. What happened on Monday? I lost my hope. I lost my hope. I started thinking that, man, there was no hope. Maybe there was no hope. for this situation. Maybe it was hopeless. Where is God in it? Where's my hope? And yeah, it's something with hope and faith. Hope and faith work together. They work together. When you lose hope, you lose faith. When you gain hope, you gain faith. When you believe God, you got hopeful that God's going to answer this thing, you're going to have faith that He will. They work together. They don't work outside each other. So belief, I believe He will. I hope that He will. Faith says He will. And He does. Wow. Hope. Hope is everything, church. Keep believing God. Keep the hope alive that things are getting better. Things will get better. And yeah, you're going to see some stuff and you're going to think, Lord, what's going on? But we are moving forward. We are moving forward. Things will change. Some things will change through technology. Some things will change through medical things. Some things will change just because we've made a difference. We've gone into nations. I've got a friend of mine who runs CAPS. A good friend of mine, Christians Against Poverty. They're mostly a Newcastle and New South Wales sort of thing, and they're just about to go national. And he was telling me just how what a struggle that had been. He said there were some weeks where we didn't get paid. He said there were some weeks where he said we just believed God, and he said it was amazing how often we would get stuff would just come, and we were okay. Honestly, he'd be one of the most blessed people I know. But this doesn't mean that there wasn't a struggle to get there. Sometimes your promised land will come with a fight. Sometimes you will need to put something in place for that to transpire. Sometimes God will say, man, you're heading this direction, you need to be going this way. Jonah was like that. I'm off. Hooroo! And he was heading the other direction. God takes him to a city where they worship the dead. If they killed you, they hung you on the wall. Bit of a trophy piece, a Steve Green there on the wall, Diane Elchin on the wall. And they would leave your corpse there to warn those who came to the city. Don't mess with us. Jonah ends up in the belly of a whale. He ends up dead. He calls out from the pit of hell and says, Lord, what am I doing? God brings him back to life and spits him out on a beach. I think he looks a bit odd. He goes into this place where they worship the dead, looking like a dead man. The whole city repents. The whole city repents. See, Jonah thought that he was off doing his own thing, but God's going, you're playing right into my hands, son. He comes back into the city and the whole city is saved because God's got a plan. Then he gets all upset. God grows this plant for him while he sits there. I find that lovely. Grows this plant, shades his little baldy head, and he's sitting there. And then he gets angry because God doesn't destroy the city. Why haven't you destroyed this city? The plant shrivels up. His head's getting burnt now. You're getting upset. I mean, plans don't go the way we think. They go the way God has them go. He did destroy Nineveh 500 years later, but that's a whole other story. God's got a plan, church. God's got a purpose. God's got a vision greater than the one you have for yourself. And you might think, oh man, it doesn't matter if I'm here or I'm not here. Actually, it does really matter. Every cog in the wheel matters. You got one of those cogs with a bit of a broken tooth on it. Man, it's a pain. I went and bought this thing at Erina the other day. $15 it cost me to stick on my dash so that I could put my phone in it. Diane said, don't buy it off them. It'll be dodgy. I'm thinking, man, you're just such a disbeliever in people. So I went and I bought it off the guy. It didn't work. Diane was right again. I think I would listen to my wife after 20-something years. I pulled it apart. You know what was wrong with it? Two of the teeth in this little tiny cog were broken. That's all it was. I couldn't fix it because I didn't have the part. So it is important that you are here, church. Every cog matters. And there are pieces to our puzzle that are not here yet. They're not here yet. There's pieces to the puzzle in your life that aren't there yet. It's not that they're not coming. It's not that they'll never be here. It's that they're just not here yet. Yeah? I'm excited about what God's doing, not only in my now, right in the now where I'm living, but for my future. I have a future and a hope that is beyond my expectation. I had a financial planner come in a couple of weeks ago to have a look at my finances, and he sort of laughed at us. That things aren't going the way that we had planned. But in all of that, I'll do all the right things, but this one thing I will continue to do, and that is simply believe God. Simply believe God. God will do what God will do, and I'll be okay. When I'm 140, looking back, plan to live to be 140. I'm planning to live to be 160, actually. Nah, it's all good. And maybe it will. They're saying that we're now living in the first generation to see somebody live to be 150. How amazing is that? And then that person who lives to that generation will be in the first generation to see people to live to be 250. The people who live in that generation will be the first people to see people live 800 years. As in the days of Noah, so shall Ian be. In the days of Noah, they lived a really long time. So we are seeing some of this stuff unfold. God's plan is unfolding. And although we don't quite understand the plan yet, you want to believe he's got one. And it's pretty awesome. You know, this morning you might be sitting there thinking, yeah, man, well, I just don't have any hope for my life. I just don't see how God's going to do this stuff, and even that he could. God can change your life today. It's pretty easy for God. A little bit of code for him. Nothing for us. Nothing for him, big for us. You might be sick this morning. You might have an illness that they've told you can't get rid of. It's impossible to cure. Well, let's put that to God too, eh? God can deal with that. Does he always? No. No. Do people die that we prayed for? Yep. Rodney Howard Brown said once, he said, I used to dread people coming to me and praying because everybody who came to me with cancer died. He said, one day, a little old lady came up and he said, oh man, I just don't, look, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry you've got cancer, but I really don't want to pray for you because everyone I pray for dies. She said, well, I don't really care. I want you to pray and I'll believe. So he prayed and she got healed. Now when he prays for people with cancer, they get healed. What changed? His experience changed. His hope changed. He went from thinking it couldn't happen, I'm hopeless, to I'm hopeful. Maybe God can do this, and maybe he will. Just that little shift on the inside changes everything. So if that's you this morning, I want to pray for you after we close in a minute. Because I believe in hope. I think hope is, what's that? Hope springs eternal. You know, we need to have hope. We need to believe that God is on our side and on our part, and that he is going to move when we pray. You know, I've seen it so many times where I've just been at the end of myself and I've said, God, help us. Boom. God intervenes. I've had the opposite of that, where I've said, God, why? I was sitting in my car once at Westfield, having a bit of a hissy fit. You can tell I have a few. Sitting in my car having a hissy fit with God, because I really wanted to work full-time in the ministry. I didn't want to work secularly. I wanted to work in the ministry full-time. I said, God, why can't I get a job? And I'd just gotten a job. I'd been unemployed for a couple of months. I'd just gotten this job. But I was upset because I'd got the job. Because I wanted to work for God. But I got this job. And I said, God, why is it that I can work, get a job like that, but I can't work for you? I'm sitting in my car and the phone rang. I pick up the phone. I said, hello. They said, don't come Monday. I lost my job. I lost my job just like that. He was sitting in my car listening to me. Yeah, if you come in our car, we've got an extra passenger. 5 minutes. And I was unemployed for 4 months. Oh my goodness, it was the closest I ever got to divorce. It was shocking. Unemployed. All because I mouthed off at God. He's listening, church. He is truly listening. And he will act on our part. And I like to remember, go back to that psalm that I started with, Psalm 103. Don't forget his benefits. Don't forget those testimonies. Don't forget the things that God does in your life. Because somebody, somewhere will need to hear that testimony. This is what happened in my life when I had a hissy fit with God. This is what happened. This is what happened when I had a bad back and four of my friends gathered around and prayed. And my back just, I felt it go, whoa. This is what happened when, whatever your thing is. Your testimony, your hope. I used to have an auntie who used to say to me all the time, I just can't believe what you believe. And I said, it's just a hope that I have. It's a hope. I hope that God's listening. Now, these days, I know that God is listening. I've had my experience now tells me that God is listening. So what's the difference between me and those who haven't experienced that? Is I've had an experience. I've experienced a God of heaven who does stuff. Who answers when we pray. Who answers when we seek him. When Josiah was 2, he had a febrile convulsion. He was dead in my arms. And you can imagine, you've just like your child is dying in your arms, and you're praying. I'm in front of my dad, who's not a Christian, and I'm praying in tongues. I'm praying. You want to bleed, I'm praying. You know, I got my son in my arms. And with that, he breathes. He takes a breath. Breath of life comes back in and he breathes. I didn't stop praying. I prayed even harder. Why? Because now hope. Hope comes in. There's a breath. There's a breath in this boy. I'm going to pray harder. The ambulance came, took him away, and he was fine. Took a few hours. Your brain had to do a reboot or something, I don't know. It was an amazing event. But when you see God intervene like that, you know, you've got a hope that God will intervene. Remember those things as God does them for you. Don't forget them. Remember them. Confess them to somebody so you'll remember them. Because they're important, these little gems that God does in our life. And I'm not the only one. There is testimonies here. Testimonies of what God has done this week. Not just me and Diane, but you guys have testimonies of what God has done. God has been doing stuff. in the church this week. And as we move forward into the future, I'd actually like us to do that. I'd like us to do testimonies. So we might actually ask for a testimony, you know, on a Sunday morning. You know, if you've got a testimony, you can give glory to God. You know? Because we need to hear that stuff. Why? Because it's building the hope in everyone else. So if I say that, man, God did this for me this week, then you might have hope that maybe God will do that for you. Amen? Let's just pray this morning. Father, we just thank you that you are the God of hope, the God who gives us faith to believe that in you nothing is impossible. Because all things are possible to him who believes, Jesus said. So, Father, we just we put our hope in you and we work through faith to see those plans that you have for us and for this church, for North Wyong, for the Central Coast, for the whole of Australia and for the planet come to pass. Father God, we just pray that we could be a small part of that, that we would be a part of making a difference in people's lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you need prayer this morning, feel free to come forward. I'm more than happy to pray for you. Whatever that need may be, it doesn't matter. And God bless you. We'll have a bit of morning tea and then we'll have some lunch together. God bless you, church. Have a great week.
Thank you for downloading this podcast. If you would like more information about our church, visit centrallife.com.au.